I think most of us can judge ourselves far from perfection in the Christian life, in virtue. I think if we're really honest, we know we got a long way to go. So it's always been kind of a mystery to me that some of the saints, they felt it was necessary for them to go to confession every day. And you say, they're saints, how could they possibly find anything to do wrong? But for some reason or other, they felt the need of being cleansed every day. They say Pope St. John Paul II, in his later years, that he began that practice. He wanted a confessor to come to him, I guess, every day. And perhaps maybe in his life, and maybe it happens in people who are extremely Christian, Christ-like sensitive, people are very much aware of the presence of Christ close to them. I think those are the ones that are probably feeling that need, because they know that they're not there, and that the perfect Christ who is there with them all the time, we're not conscious of that. Somebody like John Paul would be. Somebody like some of the great saints who felt this need, they would sense that Christ was present and that they wanted to be the best they could be in his presence. So you kind of think about that. Say, well, obviously that tells me that I don't quite have that sensitivity. That maybe there's a lot of things I need to work at to see if I can get just a little closer to that. How do I make myself a little bit more conscious of Christ's presence with me? We use the example quite often. I think some of the saints use that example, that when you light a candle and walk into a room, you don't notice the dust. But if you turn on a bright light or the sun comes into the window, all of a sudden you see the dust. So it's kind of like when the light is close, the dust and the dirt become obvious. And so I guess a lot of us have a long way to go to get to that point where we feel the need of that frequent cleansing from our failings, so that we don't tarnish the image of Christ, that we don't blur the image of Christ, but that it shines better through our lives. Then on the other side, you have somebody like David, the great King David. He had everything. God gave him everything. I mean, he had riches, he had a kingdom, he had palaces, he had wives, he had children, he had all kinds of stuff, all of it. And somehow or another, it seems like he was not at all conscious of the fact that he sinned by stealing his friend's wife and then having his friend killed because his wife was pregnant. He didn't want to be embarrassed. So you kind of say, how could somebody who was so close to God as David seemed to be not be aware that this was pretty serious stuff? It was when the prophet Nathan came to him and said, look, David, this is you. You did that. You killed your friend. You stole his wife. And so David immediately is conscious of the fact that he needs the Lord's forgiveness. So he says, I need to be forgiven. And Nathan said to him, the Lord has already forgiven you, but there will be consequences to what you've done. And there were in his family after that. There were struggles and killings and all that kind of stuff that happened after that. So I guess with all of us, it's kind of like we look at our own lives and say, we can't just do whatever we want. We are responsible to somebody. We are responsible primarily to our God. We are responsible to our families. We are responsible to our community, to our church, and all of these other things that we are part of. We are responsible to them. We have an obligation to care about what happens. So I can't just go do whatever I want and figure that it's perfectly all right. It's my business, which that's what our society teaches us today. It's none of your business. You can't criticize me. This is what I choose to do. You have nothing to say about it. But we do. We do have something to say about it. We have this conscience thing that it works inside of our head somehow. And it kind of says to us, you have to be aware of what you do to other people. Remember, Jesus talked about that all the time. You have to be conscious of the needs of other people. You have to be conscious of looking out for other people. You can't just hurt them. You can't just disdain them. You can't do all that kind of stuff. You have an obligation. You're your brother and sister. You have to reach out to them. So, but unfortunately in our world, we kind of like to tag people. Now, I'm sure for a while in history, David was known as the adulterer. That he cheated God. But you know, the interesting thing is God did not, the baby that they had became the great King Solomon. So God didn't say, well, I'm going to fix you. He doesn't work that way. He forgives. But there are consequences to the actions that we take. God isn't sitting around waiting to say, okay, I'm piling all this stuff up for you. And when you come to see me at the end of your journey, you may have some surprises waiting. That isn't the way God operates. When we say to God, I'm sorry, and he says to us, I love you, I forgive you. And hopefully it's out of love for our God that we ask for the pardon and the forgiveness. Hopefully that's a part of it. But so many times it seems that we want to tag somebody. You know, say if you have a kid remember several years ago, I think it was the Air Force Academy or one of the military schools, that some of the students got engaged in this cheating thing at the end of the semester or something. And eventually they all got thrown out or something. I don't remember the full story anymore. But you know, those kids, they made a stupid mistake. They took a risk, they paid the consequences. But probably for the rest of their life, people know, oh, you're one of those cheats. Or you're the thief, you're the drunk that ran down that kid the other day. And so you're stuck with that tag for the rest of your life. Does it help that person to ever grow and get beyond that point? When we keep identifying that one thing, the one big mistake they made in their life. Well, you get drunk. Yeah, that's the drunk. Maybe the guy hasn't had anything to drink for 3 years, but people refer to him as the drunk. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a small town, and it was a pretty religious community. It was a Catholic church, you know, about four other churches in the little town. But everybody had, you know, seemed to follow basically the same Christian principles and values. There was one lady in town. Now this has gone back a lot of years, so we can't imagine that now. The one lady in town who was divorced. And nobody could talk to about her without referring to her as the divorcee. And it went on for years. You kind of say, I mean, so she made a choice. Maybe it was a good choice for her. You know, it's really, do I tag the person for the rest of her life because of the choice that she had to make? I don't know what went into that. Imagine if God did that to us. Imagine if every time we messed up somewhere, and we all do, if we're sensitive enough to begin to recognize that. Imagine if God said, I forgive you, but I'm saving up some punishment for you. Or I'm saving up a little bit of torture for you. So at the end of your life, I'm going to have this whole book full of stuff that you've done, and I've forgiven you, but there's still some stuff that needs to be straightened out. Do you think God's going to do that to you? That's not the God I know. When God says, I forgive you, it's gone. It's like it didn't happen. If I ask God from my heart to forgive me some stupid thing that I've done in my life, he says to me, I forgive you. That doesn't mean that every time something comes up, remember the last time you messed with that? You remember how much trouble you got in? You know, God doesn't do that stuff. And he kind of says to us, like in the gospel story today, that woman, whatever she did, nobody knows. She was recognized not as a lady or a nice person or a Susan or whatever her name might have been. She was recognized as a sinner. She was a sinner. Now, can you imagine how that would feel if somebody tagged you and all of us fit in that category? We're all sinners in some way, shape, or form. If somebody tagged us with that for the rest of our lives, well, there goes that sinner. How would we ever grow out of that? We'd probably crawl and find ourselves a nice spot in the woods and live there with the birds and whatever else lives there. When God forgives, it's like it never happened. It's gone. We say we forgive, but until we can kind of do what God does and really let it go, so that every time something comes up, say, oh yeah, remember the last time you pulled this stunt, or last time this came up? Remember that? People do that with drinking, they do it with drugs, they do it with companions that they hang around with in school. All that kind of stuff comes into play. You give the rest of your life to go say, oh, remember last time you saw that guy, how much trouble you guys got into? Dude, that's not going to help anybody. That doesn't help anybody at all. Christ says, forgive from the heart. Forgive from the heart. If you love, you can forgive from the heart. And remember one more thing. Forgiveness is a gift that God chooses to give us. And he said, because I give it to you freely, I want you to freely give it to others. So it's important for us to kind of think about that. I know we always struggle with that just a little bit. It's not always easy to forgive people, especially when there's a deep emotion or hurt, or when it's been a terrible disgrace or family scandal or something that you have a very hard time getting rid of. It's not easy to forgive that stuff. But Jesus said, unless you forgive from the heart, you're not really forgiven, because you will remember it the next time something similar comes up. These readings today are a good lesson for us. We all have a lot to learn. None of us is perfect. Maybe by the time we see God face to face, we'll be in a lot better shape than we are right now. Hopefully that's going to happen. But in the meantime, he said, use the means that I've given to you. Open your heart to be what I am to this world. And when you do that, you can change the world.